everybody. You are listening to the Justice and Drew Show here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, FM 103.5. John, Drew, and Sam are on assignment. That assignment is vacation. So you have me, Brian McDaniel, from the Wrong About Everything podcast. I am joined in studio by Americans for Prosperity's own Jason Flores.
Good morning.
We have lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Good to be here.
We have Brianne in the booth. And on the hotline, we have son of a Viking, author, J.J. Kapp, calling all the way in from California. Thank you so much for getting up and making the effort to call in. We really appreciate it.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, and actually on another program that that Jeff and I are on, I actually got to be part of an interview with you. And I was very, even though I grew up Chicago Bears fan, you know, my dad told me stories about Joe Kapp. And so I was really fascinated when we got to hear you talking not only about his football career, but things that happened, you know, outside of the actual stadium and then, you know, going forward. So looking forward to getting into that today. But I made an effort this week to actually make a sale of your book, The Toughest Chicano.
Well, I was really appreciate it.
I was in Barnes and Noble's, and I was in the sports section because I was getting a book on the Chicago Cubs for my dad, and there were some older women who were in the football section, and I could just tell that they were trying to buy a book probably for somebody else, and they just didn't know what they were doing. So I actually pointed out The Toughest Chicano, and I said that that I had been part of an interview with you, and that, you know, I was going to interview again this week, and I said, you know, when it goes into, you know, stuff off the football field, and, you know, into you know, your dad's you know, current battle with Alzheimer's, and I really tried to sell them to it, and they said, oh, that's so very interesting. Well, we're looking for a book for my 8-year-old grandson. And I'm like, well maybe this one isn't it. But I tried, JJ. I really did.
Well, we really appreciate it.
You know, JJ, it's Jeff O'Brien here. Good to hear from you.
Good morning.
You know, this is a, you know, for people that don't know, either Viking fans or football fans in general, just don't know about Joe. You know, it's an interesting book. It was interesting to be involved with, working with you guys. I would say this is, it's part football, in terms of the book, but it's really kind of about leadership. Wouldn't you say that's a fair assessment? When you talk about your dad as a leader, not necessarily, you know, he wasn't always the most, you know, the most gifted passer compared to some of the other guys of his era, but he knew how to win games. He knew how to lead.
Yeah, there's no question. And when we were working with the publisher, Wise Inc., there in Minneapolis, the first thing they said after reading a draft was that this is really a leadership book, too. And so that's actually one of the subtitles, Joe Kapp, The Toughest Chicano, A Life of Leadership. And so I've been recommending the book to teachers and counselors and managers in business because I know that it's a great recipe to help people lead by example, which is the best way to do it, and that's what he did in all of his sports career and his coaching career after football.
Well, and JJ, you know, one of the things that when I was reading the book that I was most impressed with was, you know, your dad really had a, you know, he was focused on the field, but there were things off the field that he was willing to sacrifice, you know, playing time or jobs that he cared about. And one of the things that I didn't realize was, and Jeff O'Brien and I were actually talking about this a little bit during the break, was I didn't realize like how involved that your dad was with, you know, essentially, you know, free agency and everything in the NFL. So maybe could we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, he's really the Kirk Flood of football.
Yeah.
He took a stand against the way the players were treated. You know, first he sued the National Football League for violating his rights to free trade, won a summary judgment. The court found that he was... that the National Football League rules, the draft, the reserve clause, the effective reserve clause that they had, the way that it was set up, was a violation of the Antitrust Act, the Sherman Antitrust Act, and that suit led to the Mackey suit, which is the seminal case, and which basically opened up free agency for the players and the better pay that they're getting now, and their ability to move like any other person in the United States does in terms of their business opportunities. So he ended up filing that suit and getting kicked out of the league and sacrificing his career. But a lot of people don't know that. So we appreciate you helping us get that out on the radio. And it's detailed and much better eloquence than I can give you this morning. But he was definitely a pioneer, and not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, I think if your dad's case had gone, if there had been a significant damages award, I think we'd be talking about the Joe Capp case versus the John Mackey case when it comes to free agency. But the court decided that, Joe went off and had a decent movie career post retirement there for a while with Longest Yard and some of the others. And the court decided that when it got to the damages phase, that even though that the NFL's contract and their practices had violated the antitrust laws, there were no damages to be awarded because they said, in their opinion, Joe had already decided to retire and go make movies. I don't necessarily agree with that conclusion, but that's what they concluded. So as a result, there were no damages awarded. But if you look at a lot of the reasoning in Joe's case compared to the John Mackey case, the Curt Flood case, the cases that came after with free agency, I think the Mackey case even cites to Joe's case, but there's a lot of the same reasoning. So but it was the very first, he was the very first guy to stand up and say, this is wrong. And in the way that, you look at today, with the way that players move and have the freedom of contract, they didn't have that in the late 60s, early 70s in the NFL. They were basically indentured servants and not being paid a whole lot either. You had to have, the NFL prescribed a maximum level of pay. You couldn't sign a big contract and vary from their standard player contract.
Yeah, that's right. And when you restrict movement, unlike any other business in the United States, it has the effect of keeping wages down, and that was part of the whole program. They wanted to pay the players as little as they could, and so with free agency, some people don't like it because people do leave, but free agency is what we have in America. If Jeff O'Brien wants to sign on with a firm in San Francisco because they're going to pay him twice the money, well, he can do that, right? But in pro sports, it's still limited, but you can do it now. You couldn't do it in the late 60s. And my dad was a big part of that. The book explains why he got to the point where he felt like he needed to take a stand. And I think so. From that standpoint, the book is not only Viking history, but pro football history, and as you say, a leadership book.
Well, yeah,
taking on the league in itself was an ultimate act of leadership.
Yeah, because I am 0% a Vikings fan. I mean, I grew up in Chicago, and then my family moved to Minnesota, and I have nothing but an antagonistic relationship with Vikings and Vikings fans. But I enjoyed the book, immensely, and there's so much more in it than just saying, okay, well, here's a Vikings fanboy book, without a doubt. A question is, one of the things that I also didn't recognize or appreciate was that Joe had played more years in Canada, and he won a championship up there, than he did in the NFL. What ultimately led to him wanting to, leave Canada, where he had a lot of success?
Well, I mean, he was an American, is an American, and always wanted to, obviously was a excellent college football player and wanted to compete at the highest level. And, even though at the time the Canadian Football League was pretty comparable to the NFL. He wanted to come down and prove, I think, to other people and himself that he could compete at the highest level. And so I think he had done everything that he could do in Canada, and it was time to come down and try to challenge the NFL, and so that's what he did. But I was born in Canada. We have a lot of friends there. He loved his time there, and was a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player in Canada. Ultimately, he wanted to give the NFL a challenge, and so he did it.
And it helped, I think, that, you know, he came in the same year, 1967, the same year that Bud Grant started as the Vikings coach. And I think it didn't hurt that the Vikings quarterback situation at that time, and it's so funny how things don't change, was hot garbage, to put it mildly. And he had beaten Bud's teams in Canada, and including, he beat him in a Grey Cup, but he had beat him multiple times. And so when Grant went looking, kind of desperately for a quarterback, Joe's name was on the tip of his tongue, because Joe, he knew that, Joe won games. That's what if you watch any kind of highlight reels of Joe, they'll say, you know, he doesn't throw the ball the way you're supposed to. He doesn't do this like you're supposed to. He doesn't do that the way you're supposed to, but he wins games. And that gets back to that leadership thing again. You talk to guys from that era, they just liked playing with him, and I think they elevated their game because of him.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You lead by example, and I found a quote, which I didn't get in the book, from Gino Cappelletti, a teammate he had with the Boston Patriots, great player in the AFL and Canada before that. And Gino said two of the hardest hits he ever saw in pro football were Joe Cap tackling a person who intercepted one of his passes. So that's kind of an obscure thing. But you don't see quarterbacks tackling anybody, even at that time. But Joe relished it, and he was a unique player. That when the other guys saw that, as the forward points out in the book, which is by Alan Page, by the way, they had to follow him, because they saw that he was willing to sacrifice just every bit as much as they were.
That's a Chicago Bear legend, Alan Page. that tackle is probably why Joe is known as the toughest Chicano. If somebody wanted to find your book, where would they find it, JJ?
Well, you can go to joecapbook.com, and then you can go directly to Amazon or atascabooks.com. And Barnes & Noble also has it on their site as well.
Well, thank you so much. I have enjoyed the book, and in fact, I probably should have just gotten that for my dad rather than another Chicago Cubs book, which I do every year. But Joe, JJ, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. We really appreciate it, hearing about your dad and the book, and we wish you much success.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate the help with the book, and it's been great to talk to you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And you are listening to the Justice and Drew Show here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, FM 103.5. You can also catch us on TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and on the iHeartRadio app.